When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom. When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Midnight has passed, and in the stillness of these hours, the hauntings are never silent. This is Real Ghost Stories Online, After Midnight.
Some stories don't begin with a haunting. They begin with a person born into one. That was Lotus. Before she ever took her first breath, before she ever pressed her small palms against the world and called it home, something had already decided she belonged on the fault line between light and darkness. And the terrifying thing is, she didn't realize that wasn't normal until much later. When she was small, too small to understand fear as anything more than a cold shiver, she thought everyone navigated the world the same way she did, half in the physical, half in the unseen. Her name was Lotus, 30 years old now, mother of three living children and four, she says she gave back to the Lord. A pastor's daughter, a woman who had grown up with scripture in her ears and spirits in her periphery. Someone who understood that spiritual warfare wasn't a metaphor, it was a language her life was fluent in. She'd been surrounded by faith since childhood, but faith didn't protect her from everything. Sometimes it put her on the front lines, and before Colorado, before she became the rebellious teenager wearing black eyeliner and Slayer shirts in the front pew just to watch the church ladies clutch their pearls, her family lived in California. But when she was four, they packed their belongings and moved to Golden, Colorado, a bright, old-fashioned little town tucked into the foothills. The kind of place where the mountains hold secrets and the air hums differently at night. Her half-sisters stayed behind. They were older, teenagers with more attitude than stability, and Lotus remembers the strain between them and her father as something sharp, wordless, and brittle. Her dad, for all his charisma in church, had never known how to be a father to teenage girls. He had no siblings, no father of his own. He was winging it. Teen girls don't often give adults the benefit of that doubt. So the younger three moved. And that's when the haunting began in earnest. And the house in Golden wasn't creepy at first. It was warm, cheerful, full of sunlight during the day. Lotus remembered the kitchen windows glowing gold at breakfast, the living room cozy and inviting. But she was too young then to understand that some houses wear their innocence like a mask, and when daylight leaves, The walls breathed differently. The upstairs was simple enough, 3 bedrooms, 2 bathrooms, all arranged on one level like any other suburban house. But the basement? The basement was another story. 1 bedroom, 1 laundry room, and a crawl space hidden under the stairs. A space Lotus refused to enter even before she could articulate why. Something lived there. Something that watched. Something that waited. In the beginning, Lotus didn't see it. She felt it, an intuition small children aren't supposed to have. It tugged at her spine, made her cling to her mother's legs, made her walk faster past the stairwell, made her eyes widen at corners. Adults didn't pay attention to, but the big bathroom was the first place where the haunting became undeniable. The wallpaper was pink and gold, peeling in elegant little curls. From the hallway, everything looked normal. But inside the bathroom, something vile lingered anyone who used it. Family, visitors, even pastors staying overnight for her father's church events saw flashes of pornography across the walls. Not long enough to study, but too vivid to forget. When the wallpaper finally came down, the reason surfaced. Someone had glued pornographic images directly to the walls and covered them up. It wasn't just filth. It felt ritualistic, intentional, like someone wanted those images to remain long after they were gone. Still, the family stayed. They didn't have another option. Soon the toys in the girls' shared room began freezing to the wall, literally freezing, stuck high above where any child could reach. When winter settled over the town, stuffed animals clung to plaster in rigid, icy poses. Some mornings, the girls had to yank them down with 2 hands. So then came the hallway. Every night, Lotus and her sister heard something sliding down the heater vents. Not the soft patter of an animal, not the metallic pop of expanding metal. This sound was deliberate, heavy, as if something long and slick dragged its body through the ducts inch by inch, and the dresser, large, wooden, sturdy, shook so hard it rattled the floorboards. Their mother tried to reassure them. "There's nothing here but us and Jesus," she'd say, in this gentle, trembling voice Lotus didn't recognize. Until adulthood is fear mothers lie sometimes. Not out of deception, but survival. They had no money to move. Denial was the only currency they could afford. But denial didn't protect Lotus from the nights. She remembered it vividly, though it took years before she understood that memory wasn't supposed to exist in a child so young. She'd fall asleep, soft and warm, under blankets, her body sinking into dreams. But her mind woke up before her eyes did. She felt it before she ever saw it, a hand high on her thigh, firm, unmoving, attached to something crouched beside her bed. She couldn't see the face, not then, but she sensed it. The heat of breath, the weight of presence, the silent, predatory patience of something waiting for her to wake fully. Every night, years later grown, she discovered that her sister had experienced the same exact thing. 2 little girls lying side by side in a dark room, too afraid to speak, too afraid to move, each believing the other was sleeping peacefully while something touched them in the dark. And then the haunting turned violent. Her mother, sweet, faithful, protective, was walking down the basement stairs one afternoon when an unseen force shoved her. Hard. Lotus watched from behind, tiny hands gripping the railing, helpless as her mother tumbled down half a spiral, slamming into the floor. Before Lotus could run to her, the door at the top of the stairs slammed shut, locked her out, sealed her mother in. Her mother screamed prayers into the basement air. Lotus, shaking, crying, dialed the operator, this was before 911 existed, and begged for help. That should have been the moment the family fled. But life isn't that simple when you're poor, faithful, and trapped inside a war you can't see. The dark figure made itself known after that, a tall shadow with a hooded outline crossing the kitchen floor in full view, stopping at the basement stairs, turning its head toward the family with clear intent before descending. Lotus's toys were thrown. She was slapped, pinched, bitten, tickled by hands that were not human. and then the incubus came. Not once, not twice. Enough times that Lotus stopped trying to convince herself she'd imagined it. Enough times that years later she would learn her father had been attacked by a succubus during the same period. It followed her adolescence like a shadow stitched to her heels. Even when she rebelled, even when she ran from church, even when she wrapped herself in black eyeliner and anger, the haunting didn't leave. It waited. And when she turned back toward her faith, when she sought God again, the attack started to escalate. Because spirits, once they claim a target, don't concede easily. Years passed, and Lotus grew into the kind of teenager who seemed to wrestle with both heaven and hell on a daily basis. She rebelled in the loudest way she could think of. Eyeliner black as pitch, Slayer shirts flashing through the church lobby, rosaries worn like a dare. Some kids acted out to shock their parents. Lotus acted out to blend in. If she looked frightening enough, maybe no one would see how frightened she actually was. The haunting didn't stop when she pushed away her faith. It paused, shifted, watched. Darkness doesn't need to attack someone who's already unraveling. And Lotus unraveled in the way teenagers often do, recklessly, dramatically, and with an intensity that scares adults because they remember how fragile they once were. For a time, she explored paganism, not out of malice, not out of hatred, but out of curiosity, searching for something that would make the spiritual world make sense. But the more she drifted away from church culture, the more the spirit stepped back. It wasn't mercy. It was strategy. Because darkness doesn't waste its energy on people who aren't reaching for the light. It waits, lies low, learns their rhythms, and then the moment they turn back toward anything good, anything hopeful, it strikes again. Lotus's reckoning hit at 17. She was driving to school in the quiet hum of a too early morning, exhausted, distracted, weighted by all the things a girl her age shouldn't have to carry. The steering wheel trembled once, then again. Before she could brace herself, it shook violently enough to wrench her hands off balance. She glanced down to see whether she'd blown a tire. And that split second changed everything. Her car rammed into a parked trailer, metal against metal, violence so sudden the world went white for a moment. Doctors called it an accident. Lotus knew better. Spray painted on the side of the trailer, bold and jarring, were the numbers 213, a sequence that had followed her for years. Showing up in places it didn't belong, a calling card. A signature. She nearly died. Spent 5 weeks in the ICU. 5 weeks with machines breathing around her. 5 weeks with something holding vigil at her bedside that wasn't God, wasn't family, wasn't anything human. She survived, but the near-death experience didn't break the pattern. It accelerated it. The haunting wasn't done with her family either. Her sister, the gentle one, the one born with spina bifida, the one who couldn't feel anything from the knees down, walked into the living room one morning as casually as ever. Lotus glanced at her foot and felt her stomach drop. Deep bite marks, bloody raw. The jaw width enormous, too wide to be animal, too deliberate to be accidental. Her sister hadn't felt a thing. Children's Hospital didn't know what to make of it. They asked if the family owned a dog. They didn't. Infection spread fast. She nearly died again. Another attempted casualty in a war none of them had signed up for. And Lotus, still a child herself, and didn't have the emotional vocabulary for what she was seeing. She only knew her sister was drowning in medical crises, and she, the younger one, felt like a ghost in her own home. The haunting, in its own twisted way, had found a strategy. Isolate Lotus emotionally by overwhelming the family with crisis. Every time people focused on her sister, on survival, on hospitals and doctors and prayer vigils, Lotus slipped further into her own shadows. And those shadows followed her into adulthood. Motherhood came early and hard. 3 children living, 4 children lost, pregnancies she carries like invisible bruises, a marriage that collapsed, another that cracked apart under weight she couldn't see, trauma layered on trauma, each one thinning the veil between her and the spiritual world. When Lotus finally found a quiet home, an apartment meant to be a refuge for her and her kids, she felt hope flicker, small, but real. But hope is a beacon, and beacons draw attention. During the day, the apartment felt normal, almost peaceful. Her daughters played. Her son laughed. The sunlight softened the space, but when night fell, the air shifted into something else entirely. Something watching. Something patient. Lotus could not sleep unless her partner stayed awake. Not nearby, awake. If he drifted off first, fear bolted her eyes open until sunrise. She would lie still beneath blankets, her heart thrumming, like a trapped animal, listening for the sound she dreaded most. The soft electric buzz that came seconds before an attack. It started with bruises, faint at first, then darkening, spreading, blooming across her skin like fingerprints left by things she didn't see. Then sleep paralysis, the terrifying kind where the room stays perfectly visible, perfectly real, but the body stays frozen. Lotus would feel weight on her chest, breath on her ear, whispers too close. She would try to speak the prayers she had spoken since childhood. In Jesus' name, leave. But the words clung to her throat, mangled and thick, as though something held them back. Her boyfriend would shake her awake, frantic, because she'd been shouting in her sleep, casting out demons with a voice that didn't sound entirely like her own. Worse were the attacks that struck at the threshold of consciousness. She'd be drifting, eyelids heavy, body relaxing, and then an invisible force would slam into her forehead, a jolt of electricity so violent it felt like someone had thrown a ball of pure static into her skull. Lotus would shoot upright, gasping, dizzy, disoriented, and utterly alone, even with someone beside her. The spirits always approached from her left, always, as if that side of her was cursed, marked, claimed, and while Lotus suffered, the attacks didn't limit themselves to her. Her oldest daughter, Camille, 10 years old and heartbreakingly sensitive, began to see spirits, too. They whispered to her, stood in doorways, watched her sleep. Camille would cry, trying to explain what she felt, and Lotus felt anger coil deep in her stomach like a storm gathering strength. "Not my child, not again. Not like you did me." Her youngest two showed no signs yet. But when you've been targeted your whole life by something unseen, the fear doesn't come from what's already happening. It comes from what might happen next. And all of this, the attacks, the bruises, the paralysis, the voices, collided with something even heavier. Illness. In the span of 2 years, doctors handed Lotus diagnoses like Stone's, cancer, fibromyalgia, lupus. Conditions that ravage the body, drain energy, twist nerves and organs into knots. She passed out. Lost vision. Lost mobility. She'd hit the floor and wake up to shadows watching her. Medical, spiritual, both, neither. Something in between. She believed the illnesses were part of the warfare, attempts to break her physically after the spiritual attacks hadn't succeeded. Her ministry suffered and her faith wavered, her strength thinned. She stepped down from preaching. Not because she'd stopped believing, but because she felt like she was failing the very people who came to her for help. How do you guide others through fear when you can't escape your own? But the hardest part wasn't the attacks. It wasn't the bruises or the shadows or the demons that crawled back into her life. And it wasn't even the fear her daughter carried like a small, fragile flame. It was the exhaustion. Not the physical kind, though she had plenty of that. The spiritual kind. The kind that makes you wonder if you're strong enough to keep going. She prayed constantly, desperate to protect her children. She blessed the apartment over and over. She smudged it with sage until the air turned thick. She called pastors, friends, anyone who might understand. But nothing changed. Because Lotus wasn't haunted by a house, and she was haunted by her bloodline. And that realization, that terrible, isolating truth, sat in the center of her chest like a stone she could never put down. There's a point in every haunting where the fear stops being sharp and becomes something quieter, heavier, a weight instead of a weapon. Lotus knew that feeling too well. It seeped into her bones, into her routines, into the small moments other people take for granted, brushing her teeth, turning off the lights, putting her kids to bed. When the sun dipped below the buildings outside her apartment, dread rose in her stomach like a tide. She moved differently after dark, softer, slower, always aware of what lingered just out of sight. She'd tuck her daughters in, kiss her son's forehead, and pause in each doorway longer than she wanted to admit, as if watching for something she couldn't name, as if the shadows might step closer the moment she turned her back. Her partner tried to help. He stayed awake most nights, nodding off against the wall, jerking himself awake every time Lotus shifted beside him. He never complained, but exhaustion coated him too. A dull ache in his eyes, a weariness she hated seeing in someone she loved. Yet if he fell asleep before she did, Lotus couldn't close her eyes. She'd lie there trembling, fighting her own body for control, waiting for the presence to brush against her again. Because that was the rule. The attacks always came when she was alone, even if alone was nothing more than being the only conscious person in the room. The spirits didn't need darkness, they didn't need an empty house, since they needed vulnerability. And Lotus had been vulnerable for too long. She kept the worst parts of her experiences locked away, not because she was ashamed, but because some memories refused to be spoken. Some nights were too dark, too violent, too intimate to describe even anonymously. Those were the encounters that dug into her, that left marks she couldn't wash away, that made her question whether her strength was really strength or just stubbornness dressed in armor. She had endured things that would break most people, but endurance comes with a cost. Every battle takes something you don't get back. Her body bore the scars, visible and invisible, the chronic illnesses that clawed into her muscles, the moments where her vision flickered out like a dying bulb, the sudden collapses that left her confused and gasping on the floor. Doctors called it neurological, autoimmune, complicated. But Lotus knew the difference between sickness and sabotage. She knew what it felt like when something unnatural reached into her life and twisted it. She told herself she'd keep fighting, that she'd protect her children, that she'd survive the warfare, the sleepless nights, the shadows curling along her walls. But even warriors grow tired, even believers crack. And one night, she did. It wasn't dramatic, it wasn't cinematic. There were no screams or flickering lights or violent shadows clawing at her bed. It was quieter than that, which somehow made it worse. She'd been awake for 2 days straight, terrified to sleep, terrified not to. Her partner had passed out hours earlier. Her children, for once, slept peacefully. The apartment was silent, but she felt it. That presence she'd known her whole life, the one that had followed her from childhood bedrooms to teenage rebellion to motherhood and beyond it, stood at the edge of her vision, not moving, not threatening, waiting. Lotus sat there on the mattress, trembling, breathing slow, holding herself still because any movement felt like surrender. She whispered into the dark, "I can't do this anymore." The silence after those words was suffocating, not because nothing answered, but because something did. It wasn't a voice, not exactly. More like the air shifted, thickened, pressed against her skin. The presence stepped closer, not aggressively, but with the confidence of something that had already won, something that knew she was tired enough to break. Her chest tightened as her eyes burned. She felt tears slip down her face before she realized she was crying. She didn't know whether she was praying or pleading. Maybe both, maybe neither. She whispered her children's names, a prayer disguised as a mantra, trying to anchor herself before the darkness reached her. And then, something unexpected happened. Her daughter appeared in the doorway, little Camille, 10 years old, feet bare, hair tangled from sleep. "Mom," she whispered, "are you crying?" Lotus tried to pull herself together, wiping her face with shaking hands. Go back to bed, baby. I'm okay. But Camille didn't move. She didn't blink. She looked past her mother into the corner of the room, and her small face contorted with a terror Lotus recognized immediately. The same terror she'd carried her entire life. It's here, Camille whispered. Those two words hit Lotus harder than any bruise, any shove, any demonic push she'd ever endured. Because fear for herself was one thing. Fear for her child was another. A mother's fear turns into something else, something primal and explosive, a fire that consumes weakness and replaces it with instinct. Lotus surged upright, every ounce of exhaustion burned away in an instant, and her body felt electric. Not from an attack, but from a force rising inside her she hadn't felt in years. She stepped between her daughter and the shadow in the room. She didn't pray softly this time. She didn't whisper. She didn't bargain. Her voice came out raw, furious, unwavering. You will not touch my child. And something in the room recoiled. She felt it, not with her skin, but with whatever sense she'd carried since birth. The spirit stepped back, shuddered, withdrew, not permanently, not defeated, but surprised. Lotus wasn't powerless. She never had been. She had simply been worn down by years of war. But this moment, this one act of maternal defiance, shifted the balance. Camille ran into her arms. Lotus held her so tightly it hurt. And as she stood there shaking in her daughter's embrace, she understood something she hadn't allowed herself to believe before. The darkness had chosen her. But so had the light. The haunting wasn't over. It might never be. But the silence she'd lived in, the secrecy, the shame, the isolation, that part was done. She could survive for herself, but she would fight for her children. And that made her more dangerous to the darkness than anything else ever had. And when morning came, the apartment felt different, not healed, not clean, but aware. Aware that Lotus was no longer prey. She still had her illnesses as her pain, her battles as her shadows. But she wasn't alone anymore. Not spiritually, not emotionally, not in the fight. Speaking her story hadn't made the haunting worse. It hadn't summoned new spirits. It had an open door she couldn't close. It had done something else entirely. It had stripped the darkness of its favorite weapon, her silence. And for the first time in a very long time, Lotus believed she might actually win. Not by escaping the haunting, not by outrunning it, but by refusing to face it alone. Because there is power in truth. There is power in endurance, and there is power, satious likes, unimaginable power. So in a survivor finally saying, this happened, this is happening, and it will not break me. The war wasn't over, but neither was Lotus, not even close.
Want more real ghost stories? Then press subscribe now so you don't miss any of the multiple new ghost stories we drop for you every day. Only here at Real Ghost Stories Online.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom. When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds, or Skims. Sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.